I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sally Ann Hayward.
You're going to talk to me about Bernie Clifton, aren't you?
I flipping well am. I can't tell you. This recording, they've all been brilliant, but this was a particular delight because not only were we recording the podcast, but Bernie hadn't quite come to terms with the fact that nobody would see all of his puppetry or his ventriloquism or all his props.
He got his ostrich out, didn't he?
He did, didn't he? Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's
it was
what he
brilliant.
Called it, isn't it?
Oh, I know. It was all furry, but then he is a man of a certain age.
Oh,
this was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It's only bloody Bernie Clifton. I can't believe it. I know, it's you, mate. It's you.
Isn't he the one that died?
hang on a minute. He might have done. Bernie Clifton might have done.
Have a quick
Google. Who have we got? Have we got Bernie Winters?
Just check him on your Wikipedia.
Oh, my God, he has died.
Oh, she's died.
So many of them. Didn't he fall off a roof bend in his aerial? I can't remember.
That was him. That was him. How are you, Bernie?
I can see myself on a screen.
Oh, yes.
In front of my next door neighbour's fireplace. And actually, he doesn't get off work for another half an hour, so I'm good for half an hour.
Okay, we'll make this quick. Thank you so much for joining us. And you've got such a beautiful fireplace. I mean, your face is all right, but it's the fireplace I'm interested in. Has it been somebody's birthday? Because there's cards on the mantelpiece.
I buy them in bulk secondhand.
Yes.
Sympathy cards.
Oh,
because you died.
With an ink rubber. At my age, you can't remember how many of those you're going to need.
It's a good plan. A good ploy, Bernie.
Yeah, in that case then, we'd better just have a drink, couldn't we?
Do you know, can I say, I emailed you, Bernie, to ask you to come and join us for our podcast, and you emailed me back at about 1:30 in the morning when I was with Lou, in fact.
Yeah.
I was on the loo.
You were with me,
really,
and
need
you
to know
were
that.
On the loo.
I was on the loo, and I went, Bernie Clifton's answered! But what I liked about it was the fact that you emailed at 1:30 in the morning, and I couldn't work out if that was you were still up or you were getting up.
We sleep here in North Derbyshire on a rotor system. And there's only one bed between four of us. So what I tend to do is just hover outside the bedroom door, waiting for the previous occupant to go out through the window.
Right.
A wonderful arrangement. I don't know who these people are. But at least they leave a warm bed.
Yes. Just
perfect.
Warm sheets.
Perfect.
You can't say fairer than that.
You look like you're in a stone cottage. So do you have facilities or do you have a pot under the bed for things? Or is everything okay?
I'm glad we've got to that area of my existence so early in the conversation.
Great. So am I.
My toilet habits.
How many times a night do you have to get up? I suppose you can't though, can you, Bernie? Because if you get up, someone else is going to get in.
Well, fortunately, there's a kind of a pass security code on the bedroom door. Either that, and if that's not working, people tend to leave the key under the dog.
That's good.
Right.
Depending on which dog is sharing the bed, this conversation, you don't realise what's happening. We're talking total bollocks.
Oh,
I don't know who started it either.
And no one's had a drink yet.
No, we're going to have one. Well, what a lovely segue, Bernie, because we've got the wine of your choice.
Sally's already started it. Look at her.
I wasn't going to show. It was last night. I was having a Zoom party.
I waited.
Because I had a Zoom party and I drank a whole bottle of Prosecco and that wasn't enough.
This Casiero del Diablo.
Yeah.
Until today, I thought Casiero del Diablo. I thought you played centre half for Real Madrid. I came across this TV channel or TV channels recently. Somebody bought me a box that I stick behind the television, and it's given me hundreds and hundreds of TV channels.
Oh.
And a lot of them are sponsored by this. Casiero, I'm reading, obviously, Del Diablo, because I'm seeing it on my screen all the time and watching these wonderful old films, like Sony Classic and Talking Pics TV, these tend to show is old films, and I love watching old films in case, you know, because I love all the, when you see an old street scene of an old 50s film in black and white, you see these wonderful cars that are now classic cars, and I love all that. So I thought I'd go out and get a bottle of this, and here it is.
Wow. Aww. We've got the same ones. There we go.
Shall we have a sip?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, cheers. Do you cheers?
Oh, haven't poured mine yet. Oh. Just give me two seconds.
Here I go.
Oh,
she's in hers. She's got a nose in hers.
How many of these do you do a day?
Is that 12.
Is that why your face is blurred?
We try and do as many as we can, and then it's all tax deductible. Yeah. That's the best thing.
I've got an agent called Michael Vine. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
And he does this. Michael Vine is probably the greatest wind-up merchant that one could ever wish to meet. I'll give you a couple of examples about Michael. And when he goes into a restaurant, and they'll pour a wine in, and he'll just go, "It's red, isn't it?" In a total poker face. He's got this thing. Someone rang him up once. He also used to represent Joe Pasquale.
Oh.
And Joe Pasquale was a blue coat at Warner's holiday camp in Lowestoft, and Courton in Lowestoft. And suddenly Joe made it from a blue coat, and Joe is a massive star. And Michael is representing him. And Michael got a phone call from a lady who runs the PR for Warner's. And they were doing a brochure for, say, 1984, whenever it was, for the year. And she said, "We really want to feature Joe as a former blue coat who is now a massive star because of his time as a blue coat." And Michael said, I'm not sure that's a good idea. And the lady said, "Why not?" And Michael said, "Well, when Joe was a blue coat at Courton at Lowestoft, he murdered the entertainment manager." And there was a pause. And this poor woman went, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I had no idea." Reeled her in. And Michael said, well, it was hushed up at the time. He's an absolute fiend. And that just reminded me. That's what he does. He goes, "It's red, isn't it?" Well, cheers. Cheers, all of us.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Thanks
so
let's
much.
Let's have a little.
How many legs has it got? It's got a bit of leggage, hasn't it?
Yes, it certainly stays around the glass a little bit.
I think that's the technical term.
Yep. We've all got a bit of leggage, but our leggage doesn't work like it used to. But in fact, most of my leggage is now known as luggage.
Did you send yourself out to go and get the wine, or did somebody go and get it for you?
My people went, because they don't believe in using the checkout.
Yes.
At supermarkets, so they just shove it down the Wellingtons and walk out.
Great.
Wow.
With a swinging gait. Remind me, I think the horses will get it. It's nice. It's a brave little number, isn't it?
Is this a
brave? That's a great word, isn't it?
Is this the sort of thing that you would drink normally, or is it just purely because you saw it on the Gogglebox?
No, as long as I drink in very small measure, because I find it very soporific.
Soporific.
These words.
Red wine. And I'm in drastic keep fit mode at the moment.
Right.
What are you doing? What are you doing for keep fit?
Mm. Well, every morning I get out of bed, up, down, up, down, up, down, 30 times, and then I try the other eyelid.
Actually, just going back a little bit, I want to know, did Joe Pasquale make it into that brochure, or don't you know?
Michael Cott. Yeah, you got a phone call from the
police.
Oh. Said, come on, Michael, will you ring that lady back and apologise?
All right, okay.
and to continue, while Michael Vine is worth so much, there's so much mileage, Joe Pasquale was in the office with Michael when Michael got a phone call from the producer of the Royal Variety Show. In fact, he did our Las Vegas series.
Yeah, which was brilliant.
Lovely man. You know, formalising the arrangements for Joe to appear on the Royal Variety Show. And Mike said, before we go any further, what's the title of the show? And the guy said, well, the Royal Variety Show. And Michael said, well, before we go any further, can we call it Joe Pasquale's Royal Variety Show? He's such a po-faced, you believe everything he says. He actually went back and apologised to this lady, and Joe did appear in the brochure. I was telling you about the man on the Royal Variety Show. After about 5 minutes of this nonsense, Michael said, oh, well, I don't think he'll do it unless it's called the Joe Pasquale Royal Variety Show. The guy hung up. And Joe's in the office, they're chatting away, and then the phone rang again, and the guy rang up and said, are you winding me up? And Michael said, of course I am.
Let's get back to this wine, though, because this is a lovely little number. Ooh. What can we smell in it?
Wine.
Yeah, wine. It smells of wine, doesn't it? Well done.
Wine. I'm amused by its presumptuousness.
Oh, explain.
It's not punching above its weight, but it's trying to.
So how much was that your one? Wine?
Yeah, not very expensive. I tend not to pay any more than a tenner. I consider that where I live in my part of the world in North Derbyshire, that's considered reasonable. Somebody once said, well, if you're paying £5 or £6 for a bottle of wine, when you take the tax off, you've got to work out the value of that liquid that's in that bottle. It's a Cabernet, isn't it?
This sort of suggests to me that if I drink any more of it, I'm going to get a headache from it. Do you know what I mean? Do you get hangover?
Why?
I don't know. I think because from previous guests, and this is nothing on you, Bernie, but, you know, of late we've had quite expensive wines to drink. And Sally and I have only had hangovers due to the wine that we've made ourselves drink when we've not been interviewing people. But,
I understand.
I think we're coming down a peg or two now, aren't we, Sally?
I do.
Well, I think let's keep the fiscal side of it, because it does work, doesn't it? You're talking to someone that has eked a living out for 45 years by pretending to ride on the back of an ostrich.
There is that, yeah.
I'll be right back. Here we go. Message.
Oh, he's rolling off in his chair. Oh, he's back. Oh, no, he's gone again. What have you got, Bernie?
This looks ominous.
He's getting
People
something
can't
out.
See what's happening.
Yes.
Just,
oh, hello. Oh, he's brought the ostrich.
Have you had the same Oswald? I've done some Googling, Sally. Have you had the same Oswald for the whole 45 years?
I've got to do a bit of ventriloquism now.
Okay.
Excuse me.
We need people to know, as this is audio, that he's brought the ostrich on the screen for us. So Lou and I could see the ostrich has flown off.
I don't know. I don't think they just bury their heads somewhere.
You didn't do that much Googling, did you? Oh, yeah, they put their heads in the sand, don't they?
So is there a name for, like, well, there probably is, but for acts like yourself that have, like, your puppets or whatever? So, no, I'm trying to be so polite.
Word it nicely.
There's no way. There's no way that you cannot make that question sound like an insult.
Did you ever go drinking with, like, Rod Hull and Keith Harris and all of that? Did you all just sit there with your various...
I should start from a different direction. Is there a name for people like you?
That's what she said, basically, didn't she? I kind of breezed it. I tried to breeze over it and pretend that it was never said, but is there a name for people like you?
I've done acting work where you wear a whole costume and it's called skin work. So is there a name?
Oh, puppetry, puppet work.
Is there like a technical name, or is it just men with stuffed animals?
First of all, you start with, is there a name for people like you? Then you say, by the way, I've done a lot of skin work. You expect me to carry on? Nothing untoward has been said.
There's a lot of people buried under my patio. That's all I'm saying.
We tend not to meet that often. There was a situation back in the 80s when an entrepreneur had a marvellous idea that he would get all the acts that were in summer season, assemble at Blackpool Airport on Sunday morning, and then fly them to different corners of the country, like six or seven acts, five or six acts in an aeroplane. And I ended up at Blackpool Airport one Sunday morning. In the plane, apart from the pilot, there was Roger De Courcy with Nucky. There was Keith Harris with Orville and Cuddles, of course. And there was my good self with the ostrich, the cat on the shoulder, and a large 14-foot rubber shark.
Of course. Why not?
And
just a normal Sunday.
And the Liverpool comedian, Stan Boardman. We're flying down to Exeter. One of us was doing Torquay. The other one was doing Paignton. You know, we were doing... That was the idea. It worked. And we're in midair somewhere over Cheshire. And Stan Boardman says, hey, just imagine... If this plane crashed, like, with you and the ostrich and the cat and Roger with the bear in the front and Keith Harris with Orville, they thought that we'd crashed onto a safari park. We really work together because we are those kind of people without a name, without a banner headline.
We have a banner headline, but we'll probably leave that for now because what's going through my mind is probably not very polite.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So when you went to Las Vegas and you had to live with all of those people, was it a bit like Big Brother, but for celebrities?
Well, I know most of them over the 40, 50-year period we'd all been together, you know, from Cannon and Ball to down to Jess Conrad. And we have met many, many times over a long, long period. But you don't really know people until you live together. And they threw us all into this beautiful villa, fantastic villa. It's a wonderful... mindset that they've got, these reality TV people, because they're through to the lions, if you like. They said, right, go and find a bedroom. Well, the survival spirit kicked in and we all headed off looking for a bedroom, and Jess Conrad passed me on the stairs like a gazelle.
And
he got the first one at the top of the stairs because it had a full-length mirror. And then there was a big fallout. You could hear voices being raised. I haven't got a room. And what they'd done, there was 10 of us, I think. There weren't enough bedrooms. What we hadn't realised was that just across the courtyard was a cottage with four bedrooms in it. They'd forgot to mention that. So we were all looking at the best, worst bedrooms. I'm not sharing with him. I'm not sure. I can't share with anybody. I snore. I sleep alone. So it was chaos, but slightly manufactured by the wizardry of the TV company. No, but the great thing was, throwing us all in the pot together, was a great learning curve, and it was fantastic experience. I'll never forget it, to have actually made Vegas, yeah. albeit late.
Yeah, but it was brilliant.
Career.
It was so enjoyable. Did you all go out on the Raz? Did you all have little drinky poos?
No, we didn't go out on the Raz. We were just totally knackered. We were out. We were picked up quite often about 6, 7 in the morning and driven out to an exotic or faraway location. And we were all kind of elderly. You can imagine, can't we? That was the whole point. Come the evening, we couldn't wait to get back in and have a cup of cocoa.
So you didn't have you didn't have a wild party?
No, we didn't. And how dare you suggest? There's a name for people like you.
Rude. She's rude. Have you had fun sort of drinking nights out though? You know, like, have you got some good drunk stories?
I'm just ticking your list of questions, Sally. Have you had fun? The summer season back in the 70s, it was fantastic when everybody was away on a long summer season, and you actually could relax after the show on the premise that you weren't doing any travelling, and the following day, and back then, I remember particularly in Jersey, I had some marvellous summer seasons in Jersey, and we used to go to the bakery at the end of our, and we'd buy loads of freshly made baguettes, you know, French bread and cheese and wine. And we'd go back to somebody's house and we'd play in the most debauched game you can imagine. We'd play Monopoly. No strings attached, but just for the crack.
Well, like strip Monopoly. Is that what you're referring to? I just want to know what debauched Monopoly is.
My reputation as a former Crackerjack presenter.
Family entertainment.
Is going out the window. Back in the day, if anybody offered me that lifestyle now, I wouldn't take it up for £1,000. I'd just be that grateful to crawl into bed after a gig, especially the last 20, 30 years. We had such a work ethic. Anybody of my ilk that was around at the time would be aware of this. We'd take anything. There was so much work. We'd take it, we'd do it and enjoy it and come up fighting for the next round.
And I was going to say, you started off as a singer, though, didn't you, before you did your ostrich business? Hark at me.
I suddenly realised I was a boy singer, and then I got in with the wrong set, as my mum used to say. Bernard, don't go there. You'll get in with the wrong set. And that's what I did. I grew up in St Helens, which is on the fringe of Merseyside, working on building sites with the Scousers, Irish labourers, and there's a fantastic sense of humour. It's that old phrase about that we'd do anything for the crack, anything at all, and the gags and the japes and the wind-ups that were going on the building sites in the late 50s. By majority of the tradesmen had been in World War II, and there was that sort of spirit, you know, that dark humour that got them through tough times. This was straight on my DNA. I absolutely loved what was going on. And as a result, when I managed to get myself a few dates as a singer, in fact, my first job was as a dance band singer at the Quorp Ballroom in St Helens. But it wasn't enough for me. After 3 weeks, I was banned from the ballroom because the singing wasn't enough. I went out and got drunk while everybody else was trying to pull birds on the last waltz. I was riding the doorman's bike round the dance hall.
Brilliant. I'd have been your mate.
Me and my friend Gordon Spencer, we would do anything, just for the crack, you know, anything that was mischievous. I was escorted to the gent to get changed by the manager and two bouncers because I'd taken my shirt off and put it around my neck as a kind of a cape. We were fencing with steroids.
How many beers has you had to get you to that state then?
Oh, I don't know. After 4 or 5,
oh my goodness,
we lost count.
What is your favourite tipple, Bernie?
I actually do like a glass of champagne.
Oh, yes.
The Verve. I've not had some for some time.
Verve Clicquot.
Verve de Clicquot. Yeah, that's lovely. It's sharp, isn't it?
It's just quite yellow, isn't it, I think?
But I just think as well that after a glass, maybe two glasses, I think it's plenty.
Oh, no.
Not for Sally. Not for Sally.
No. I can get them.
Because back in the day, I think I'm trying to balance the books because, as I just said, in my youth, we were drinking for England. And as we're overtaken by old age, And you gradually think, well, only a glass, and then I'll just fall asleep.
Yeah.
So, I a glass of champagne, and I like the Verve. Can't remember where I was. An event that was being sponsored by Verve.
That's what we want for this.
And became
put a word in for us, Bernie. Sponsor the podcast.
Big fan. It's probably back in the '70s. You'd have to dress in seventies gear.
Yeah, we'd have to stand by a car or something, wouldn't we? With just a bikini on and some feathers. Yeah.
Back in the day, we drank and drank and drank. Beer. But now the red wine that I chose, because it's like an everyday, I just like it, but I wouldn't like to have more than maybe a glass, because as I said, I find it a bit heavy for my delicate constitution.
You are delicate, Bernie. You are delicate. Yeah. We can see that.
I just think it's a privilege, really, to have been around those days that I keep going on about. It was a fantastic time to be in show business when everybody was working and everybody, there was so much work for everybody. It was a way that you could learn your craft. There were places to be bad in.
Right.
You know, the first TV show that I ever did was at the City Writers in Leeds, the good old days. That was in, I guess it'd be 1971, I suppose. And I thought I'd done well. And Les Dawson, at the end of the show, he was topping the bill, Les. And he took me to one side, and he gave me a proper dressing down. And he said, "You're okay." He must have seen something in me, but he said, "You're fine." He said, "But you're just another one off the conveyor belt. What, another 100 comedians?" And he said, "Why don't you try and find your own style, plow your own furrow?" And he said, "What do you love doing?" I said, "Well, to be honest, as I love doing visual comedy, I love props, anything. I love the Marx Brothers and Tommy Cooper and Ken Dodd." And he said, "Well, why don't you go out then and be a prop comic?" And I went, "Okay." And Les, he was my hero. The following day, this is a true story, I'm in Chesterfield, and the Oxfam had taken over a shop. And in the window of the shop was a full-size lion skin, a full hearth rug. And I went in and I said, "How much is that?" And they went, "Well, 50p. And I bought it for 50p. And immediately I became like you know, a ventriloquist with this huge lion skin. When I was in summer season in Jersey, I saw that the Shepperton Film Studios were having a closing down sale. And I flew over from Jersey and bought this 12-foot, 14-foot rubber shark. And I was getting this menagerie of props. I was at a Halloween display. I blagged the cat. There was a cat on a tree, a black cat. I put the cat on my shoulder, cat on shoulder, fish, biscuit tins, lion skin. And then somebody said, "Have you seen this ostrich idea?" And I went, "What ostrich?" And they sent me a sketch of somebody on the back of it. I'll do some of that then. I'll have one of those and why not? And the rest.
So it was Les Dawson's fault.
He said, go out and plow your own.
Absolutely.
And in the years that followed, you know, the next sort of 10, 15 years when we met, he used to knit wink and say, "I put you right there, didn't I?" And he did. He gave me what he did. And he said, like, "Follow your star, plow your furrow, find your own niche." And he said, I put you right there, didn't I?" And of course he did. Lovely man.
Yeah.
How sad that we lose so many people. Onwards, you know.
Yes.
We're here to drink.
But you're still here, aren't you? You're still here drinking as well, which is
halfway through my first glass and a half.
Will you carry on drinking through the evening?
I don't, because if I did, there wouldn't be an evening. Early morning.
Yeah, again, you'd answer an email.
Have
from
you had
me
your dinner
again.
Yet, though?
I didn't
sounds
realize.
Like she's your carer. Have you had your dinner yet, Bernie? Shall we tuck you in?
Have you been? How long is it since you've been?
I'll bring you some fibre gel. You'll be all right in the morning.
Have you got like a hangover cure that you could give us? Because Lou and I will have hangovers tomorrow, no doubt.
Oh, no, just only ridiculous amounts of water, which you know, it's the hydration, isn't it?
Need to be reminded.
Should we decide whether we're going to spit or swallow this then, Sally?
Yeah, that's what we... No. First of all, Lou, you have a question about the spittoon,
don't
you?
I
don't
know whether I can... You know, I've really alienated...
Look, you've said a lot to Bernie tonight. Okay. I reckon he's prepared for this.
Have you got... Is the next...
Yes.
Is there the next question involved?
Yes, it does.
Spittoon?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Bernie. Yeah. Sorry about this. I've never apologised before.
Yes.
I've asked this question before, but you're so lovely. But I'm going ahead anyway.
Question.
Whose spittoon would you drink? Oh, we've lost him.
Oh,
we've lost
him.
Oh,
I wish we could see the face of it.
No, this is worse than have you had fun?
Oh,
it was going so well.
This is Sally's fault because I was going to gloss over this question, but she's bought it yet, but she's bought
well,
it
Well, I
back.
Know, no, yeah. It's a good question. Whose would you drink, Bernie? Would it be Nookit? Would it be Oswald's?
I can't imagine anything more disgusting, but I'd share. I mean, I have my heroes. I have my heroes, and I think I've already mentioned them. So, and I would love to drink with and sip and spit in our relative respective spittoons. With people like Les, Les Dawson, who was my mentor, and of course the Squire of Knotty Ash, who my legend, who I had the good fortune to be friends with, and I was invited to Ken's almost like his final tour of lunches. Ken invited me to speak, and I was on the top table with the show with show business royalty. You know, there was Barry Cryer and Roy Hudd. It was amazing. I was given the mic and I stood up. I turned it into a roast, and because I thought I'm never going to get another chance like this. And I said, "Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I was brought up in St Helens, and the people Liverpool Scousers call people from St Helens, which were they call us Woollybacks." Because they reckon that we live in the fields with the sheep. So, but we get our own back by boycotting the Scousers' main retail outlet. Hubcaps are us. And then I said, and of course we all remember those terrible dark days of Ken's face-to-face with the Inland Revenue when Ken was accused and of course, to the joy of us all, was acquitted of all charges of cheating the Inland Revenue. And following that acquittal, his QC, George Carman, flew to Los Angeles and got Stevie Wonder a driving license.
You've had a great time, haven't you?
Yeah, it's... What, pardon?
You've had a great time, haven't you, dear? You've really enjoyed... You've had a really lovely time, haven't you? Now it's bedtime for you.
And on that note...
Now comes the time when we decide if this bottle of red, Casiero del Diablo Cabernet Sauvignon, I've said that exactly right, of course, Chile 2018 Concha y Toro, is it a spit or a swallow? Lou, what have you decided?
I don't know. Normally, I'll swallow anything, me. For me, I'm going to say maybe it's my palate at the moment, but it's a bit too vinegary for me, so I think I'm going to spit. And I haven't done that for a very long time. Oh. I'm sorry, Bernie.
No, she hasn't.
I'm sorry.
I've never actually been in the situation where I've had the choice to spit, spot or spat. So I certainly, you've not asked me yet, but I would swallow. I'm a sipper and a swallower, I think, rather than a spitter.
So we've got a spit and a swallow, and I'm afraid I'm going to say it's a swallow as well.
Because she always does, Bernie. Right. She always does.
That's good to know. Yeah, I was brought up, we were from a family, when I think back, we actually, in St Helens, we actually had nothing. I mean, I think, but I didn't know we had nothing. I just assumed that this was, I never even thought about it. I was, you know, 10 year old. We lived in this little terraced house. Like everyone lived in a little terraced house with maybe 2.5 bedrooms and lots of kids. We're either good Catholics or sloppy Protestants. And it's just the way it was. I never thought twice. We didn't have carpets. We just had lino. My mum always wanted a semi-detached house, you know, because instead of the terrace, that was her ambition. And this developer came along and we got our semi-detached house. I think the developer's name was Adolf Hitler. We were bombed. Three doors up, a bomb fell and demolished three houses and missed us by, 20 yards. So we had a semblance of being semi-detached. But from that point, I never thought that we were poor. And I got my 11 plus. And this is a true story. Somehow got through on 11 plus. A guy called Gerald Finney came to tell us about grammar school. And he looked at me and he said, "You can't go to grammar school, Bernard." And I went, "Why?" He said, "Because you wear clogs." And I thought, "Everybody wears clogs." He said, "No, they don't." He said, "You can't go to grammar school in clogs." And I went home and broke my heart. It was such a, like an indictment. And it was the first sort of knowledge I ever had of having nothing. And then once I did get to, they must have gone out and sold, I don't know what they did to get me a pair of shoes. But I went to grammar school and began to be invited around out to tea by the other pupils. And I'll never forget, this is, it's etched on my brain. There was a lad called Tommy McNamara's, and we all went around to Tommy McNamara's for tea, and they had sandwiches cut diagonally with no crusts.
Oh, fancy.
And I went, and I've never forgotten that. And I went, wow, what is this? There's another world out there. So that's, I'm not sort of bringing the party down.
No, it's lovely.
I'm trying to justify, we never spat anything out.
That's a great way to end this podcast. I think you never spat anything out. No, you've just got to keep it all going. Yeah. But thank you so much. Thank you. You've been so lovely to chat to.
Well, I don't know who you are. This obviously is a cross line.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, @gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!